Commission at 6 p.m. And I will establish a quorum at this time.
Stu Martinez, present.
Greg Jones, present.
Kathy Agin, present.
Karen Ward, present.
And Ken Molnax, the mayor, is here. At this time, we'll have a Pledge of Allegiance. And I would ask Jim Fleming to lead us in the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jim. Item number four is added agenda items, and I will put on the agenda an item called Purple Heart, and we will move to that at item 10. Item number five is the consent agenda. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I need to state a possible conflict of interest with that bill to Wilderness Grubby.
Let the record reflect the counselor's comments. Is there a motion to, is there any further discussion? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I so move.
Moved.
Second.
And seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 It's unanimous, we approved. And at this time we'll have some public comment.
Yes, my name is Crew. My name is Linda Crew.
And Linda, where do you live?
I live at 51473 Hinkle Way within the Lafayette city limits.
Thank you.
Do you want me to go forward? Is this fine?
Sure.
If it deals with marijuana, we'll actually be taking that up
at
the hearing.
No, it does not.
Okay. Please just come up here. There's a microphone there, and it's the red button. If you'll push it, it'll let everybody hear.
Okay. All right. I just want to speak a minute in deference to other issues. First, I want to compliment our city manager, Rick Allen, on his professionalism, approachability, and concern for LaPine's health and financial welfare. Thank you, Rick. I'm here regarding an article in the Bend Bulletin on March 17, 2015, concerning the proposed BioGreen facility to be built just 600 feet from our nearest housing area and less than 1 mile from our downtown area. In this article, Roger Lee, Executive Director for Economic Development for Central Oregon, states that BioGreen has a long way to go before building, but we all know how fast time flies. In consideration of our President, Barack Obama, his comments in an interview with the NBC show Today this morning at 8.07 a.m. states he is very concerned with issues on climate change and will be working on solutions. I'm submitting to this City Council 104 plus articles that can be accessed by the internet concerning the health issues, pollution, and climate change implications mentioned by our president, all associated with biomass companies. Our hope is that you will diligently research these reports to realize the effects of this type of facility in our community. There are other documents in this packet that concern legal issues and lawsuits concerning biomass facilities, along with a few comments from other states. I'm working with 28 states. Prairie House, Deschutes Lodge, senior housing, and hundreds of single-family homes will be affected by the planned facility built less than 1 mile away. The original intended use of the industrial park was formed with the intention of any heavy industrial use, as with Scott Logging and Wilderness Garbage and many other great businesses, to be located on the east side of the railroad tracks, and light industrial to be located the west side of the rail tracks. I was here when that was in the planning stage. The health implications are monumental. People affected by asthma, allergy, and other lung or skin problems will be greatly affected along with the cleanliness of our Lapine area. I sincerely hope you consider this. When I understand the permits for the biomass facility have now expired, and I sincerely hope that you consider any permits that are filed in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Are there any further public comments?
Is that Patty?
give it to Manny.
Thank you.
Hearing none, I shall move to our item number 7, which is presentation on the 2013-2014 audit by Polly Rogers and Company, who are in attendance. Yes. Please come up.
Good evening. I'm Tamara Graham. I'm the senior manager that was on the 2014 audit this year. And I'd like to summarize the results of our audit and be available to answer any questions you have regarding how the audit went. The audit is summarized in the communication to the governing body letter, and that's what I'm going to go through and talk about the highlights of that. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those. There are some required professional discussions that we need to relay to the governing body, and so I'll just start with listing those. Our responsibility is to express opinions about whether the financial statements prepared by management with your oversight are fairly presented in all material respects in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. We're not looking at 100% of the transactions in your financial statements. We're looking at a sample representative that would allow us to present an opinion if they're materially accurate. So that's what we did. We reviewed and performed our audit in compliance with generally accepted accounting principles and auditing standards. Also, we audited for compliance with Oregon municipal audit law. And also, we because there were expenditures of a federal loan, we looked for compliance with the federal loan requirements. So, jumping into the results of the audit, we gave an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, which means it's a clean opinion with no reservations. It's the opinion that you want. It's a good opinion. In regards to our audit of compliance with Oregon minimum standards, there were no issues or exceptions except as noted on page 39 of the report, and this was just one over expenditure in the water fund. It's a pretty minimal, minor finding. The management letter, we issued a separate management letter outlining areas that could be strengthened in internal control for the year ending June 30th, 2014. And we can go into those if you like. They're listed in the management letter. There's a total of 4 areas of internal control that could be strengthened, and I believe have already been in process of being corrected, as well as 4 items of best practices just for your information only. They're not significant deficiencies, it's just areas that you can decide if you want to improve or not. It's up to the council. In regards to our audit of compliance in relation to the requirements related to the federal awards, where we found no issues at all, no areas of non-compliance and no question costs. So that was very good also. We did not encounter any difficulties in performing and completing our audit for the 2014 audit. That was very good also. Management and the staff were very cooperative, and we were able to complete our audit in a timely manner. Disagreements with management, we did not have any disagreements as far as accounting, reporting, or auditing matters. Sometimes in an audit, there are technicalities that require a second opinion. There were no issues requiring us to gather a second opinion. Then in the last page of the governing body letter, we outline other accounting matters for your information only. These relate to reporting for pensions and in areas that which may or may not affect the city. And we've discussed these at length with management. So that basically, as a result of the audit, it was a clean opinion. We noted some areas that could be improved in internal control, and if you'd like, I can get into discussing those. Those are listed in the management letter.
Council, your pleasure.
You can highlight a couple of them if you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just remember that you always get those.
It's hard not to find some comments. In the management letter, these are called significant deficiencies, is what we noted. It's not our terminology. It's what we have. Areas of internal control where there are weaknesses are either classified as material weaknesses, which mean they would materially affect your financial statements, or there are significant deficiencies which are less severe than a material weakness but important enough to merit your attention. And that's what we found. So the first one was that as of June 30, 2014, the city did not have a written internal control policies and procedures document. Our understanding is that the city is currently undergoing the process of documenting those policies and procedures.
Summer was working on it, but then she took the job at Hood River. So we've got to finish that. It's something that finance people do. Don't ask me to write it.
So it's on the horizon, hopefully.
Yeah,
we really recommend that. The second item that we noted is in our testing of journal entries, adjusting journal entries is a very easy way to manipulate financial statements. And we noted that there were numerous journal entries that had no evidence of approval. Our recommendation is that someone other than the preparer and the recorder of those journal entries take a look at them and approve them and document that with signature or initials and date so that there's an audit trail.
Please describe how that would come about.
How you can implement that?
Well, I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So how would somebody look at something like that, or what would be the normal plan to look at something like that?
Well, journal entries should be sequentially numbered, and whoever is outside of the person who is entering those journal entries or proposing the journal entries, maybe it's the finance director who's preparing.
Yeah, the finance director does the journal entries.
So,
and I sign them all the time, so it could be the ones that she saw.
This is as of June 30, 2014. So this is from July 2013 through June 30, 2014.
So I sign them all the time.
Yeah, and it could have been after you came on.
So I get a sheet that shows they're moving from here to there, and then I sign and date that, mm-hmm. and there's always some of them for me to sign all the time. But part of it was, as we were getting our systems now, in place,
it was
and everything
process,
going,
yeah.
I think now there's less of them, number one. And I don't know if it's one I don't see. I can only see what someone gives me. But I do sign the ones that I see, and then I'll ask a question about it.
And so ideally, a good process would be to have the journal entries sequentially numbered, and then maybe you have a list every month that says the beginning number, the ending number. You could see if there's any missing numbers.
Yes,
and then
right now, they're just sheets of paper and they're individual, whatever it is. I have no numeric system on that.
So you want to make sure that you have some kind of system in place so that you can make sure it's all complete and there's no journal entries that you're not seeing.
Okay.
And then when we reviewed cash, we noted that a second individual is not consistently reviewing the bank reconciliations. It appeared that adequate internal controls did not include a person reviewing and approving the bank reconciliations. We noted also that this process was corrected in January of 2014 with a change in process and was tested for proper review after the change. And we didn't have any findings after that. So it was a process change.
They do the reconciliation, then I look at the beginning and the ending and make sure that they balance from the bank statement. And that's, of course, one thing we used to have 9 bank accounts and now we have like 2.
That makes it a lot easier. And lastly, in our testing of utility revenue, we found there is no review of the meter reading billings register billed out by the utility billing specialist. And our recommendation would be that the billings register be reviewed by someone other than the utility billing specialist prior to billing customers to ensure completeness of billings, to ensure that the credit memos are within reason. And of course, we don't expect somebody to go through and check each meter reading. But you can see, and just does it generally look reasonable? Is someone that, you know, consistently being missed on the listing of people being billed, that sort of thing.
So now Scott gets a printout of that, and he goes through. I remember a few months ago, he was like, "Oh my gosh." So he gets that, you know, there's several hundred of these. So he gets that, and like say, you can, if something jumps out,
yeah,
you can see it. As far as credits, well, if we're issuing a check back, I see him because you see him on here when we're giving a refund or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The theory with all this is, and it makes sense, mm-hmm. You don't want the same person entering things, you know, that does the other side of it. And isn't it in a small
yes.
system? I mean, there are cities like Metolius and Culver have one employee. They do 100% of everything. I mean, you know, to a degree, you do. It's very difficult when you have a small staff to separate things. But we've been expanding it. You know just what you're doing with the bills.
Exactly.
It's much, much more thorough. Mm-hmm. What I do with the bills is more thorough. So it's a double check. Yeah.
Yeah,
check.
It can be a challenge with segregation of duties in a small environment. There's ways to get around it by having maybe even someone on the council reviewing or approving, checking bank statements. Not that you have to reconcile the bank statements, but taking a look and say, does this look reasonable and what you would expect? And this goes into our best practices of just a reminder of governing body monitoring, you know, reviewing the financials on a regular basis, comparing budget to actual, asking questions for things that look maybe out of whack. And just a reminder to continue to do that. The second best practice is fidelity insurance coverage. This is one that we recommend to almost all of our clients. It's a cost-benefit analysis that the governing body needs to determine. It's one especially that we would note for an entity that has a small office staff, because one way to mitigate your risks is to increase your fidelity insurance coverage, which is your employee honesty. So I don't recall what your limit is or what your insurance coverage is. It may be pretty high. We note this anyway if your cash balances exceed your coverage, and we're not suggesting that you make that coverage to your cash balance. It's a risk that we see, and the cost benefit may not warrant increasing it, but it's just for you just to be aware of. Segregation of duties, we pretty much have talked about this already. It's just important that not one person have access to the assets, whether that's the recording or the physical assets of collecting money, and then also recording that in your financial system and approving. So just one of those areas needs to be segregated. Then in Form I-9, this is also just a best practice. We just noted that there were a few I-9s that were completely filled out. It's just a recommendation. Remember to complete those. We see this so frequently. And it's a reminder in case you got audited by the government agency, the Immigration Service. Just be aware of that. And that was all of our suggestions for internal control and best practices.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have any questions for me?
I'd like to thank Tamara and her crew.
Yeah, you know, thank you too.
We were hoping for this back before, but it took a little longer. But we actually, this year, they were in here in September, and for various reasons took a little longer than we wanted and they wanted, but we got it all done. Mm-hmm. Much better than the previous years. And so we'll continue on that. We have an RFP out for new auditors right now. Mm-hmm. And we have some folks, and these guys put back in for it. Mm-hmm. So we'll be determining that over the next month. So we'll have someone for the next, I think we did a 3-year with a year mm-hmm. extension. So we could have them back or we could have someone new. But we've had them for three, four years.
Yeah.
So, and they've done a good job. And as you well know, the finance, you know, needed to get improved. So we've made great, great strides. Yeah, we're happy.
All right.
Yep. Thank you very much for allowing me to present this in person.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Thank you.
And for anyone that wants to see the audit, you can go online and get them if you'd like to review that 100 pages. It will be online. It's on the State of Oregon website.
Item number 8 is presentation for Week of the Young Child, and we have visitors here to do that for us. I think you all have one in your packet.
My name is Angela Saraceno with Healthy Beginnings.
And I'm Katie Grantier with Healthy Beginnings.
So do you just want to read the proclamation and go for it?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Whereas Healthy Beginnings, in conjunction with the agency members of Partnerships for Young Children and the Central Oregon Chapter of the Oregon Association for the Young Education, or for the Education of Young Children, are celebrating the Week of the Young Child, April 12th through the 18th, and whereas these organizations are working to improve early learning opportunities, including early literacy programs that can provide a foundation of learning for children in Deschutes County, and whereas calling attention to the need for high-quality early education services for all children and families within our community and state, these groups hope to improve the quality and availability of such services. And whereas public policies that support early learning for all young children are crucial to young children's futures. And whereas the future of our community and state depend on the quality of the early childhood experiences provided to the young children today. Therefore, it be resolved that the City Council of Lapine, Oregon hereby proclaims April 12th through the 18th as Week of the Young Child.
Thank you very much, and I will read the rest of this. The City Council of Lapine hereby urges all citizens during this week and throughout the month of April to celebrate our youngest learners by recognizing and supporting the need of young children in our community, which will be dated this day and signed by the City Council and myself.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to accept and proclaim the proclamation as read?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to validate the proclamation as read. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Let the record reflect it's unanimously accepting the proclamation as read. Thank you very much. Item number 9 is our ordinance number 2015-02, an ordinance of the City of Lapine establishing time, place, and manner regulations concerning medical marijuana dispensaries and declaring an emergency. This time I'll open the public hearing on this matter and ask staff for input.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and for those here. We have been working on this, as you well know, for several months, and the Planning Commission dealt with this back now probably almost 2 months, 6 weeks ago or something. We have had a meeting here, and then last 2 weeks ago or so, we had a public meeting on this. You folks you know, talked about various aspects and gave some recommendations, and we heard from people, and at your recommendation we made some changes, the staff did, and worked that with our city attorney and our city planner, and hopefully we have a document that reflects what we've heard. But of course, that, you know, I don't know, we've tried. I think, Mr. Mayor, it would be fine. I just go through and hit some of the highlights.
Please.
So you have enough people here. They all want to talk. So, and then if I guess if they have a question, we can try to answer it. But again, it's so long, we won't go through it all. Is that
okay? That's fine.
First of all, I think one of the things, just as much for everyone's benefit, a minor for the definition is 18 years of age, and because alcohol is 21, so it confuses some people. So whenever a rule talks about a minor, in the case of this, it's 18. If you go to page 2, 5.1, one of the rules that you've put in place, maybe back up, the legislature, this is kind of what happened. The legislature, medical marijuana has been around since the late 90s, and I think that's been lost with some folks. I think just people think this is something new that just happened. Since 98, I could be off by a year in there, but medical marijuana has been legal in the state of Oregon. So it's about a 17-year-old process. The legislature then wanted to make some changes, and I think one of the things is they felt, lots of folks were getting them that maybe didn't need, a lot of doctors were issuing just a few licenses and stuff. So legislature took it up and started doing some work with it. One of the things they did in the last session was they said, you can adopt, cities, local governments can adopt rules that address three things. Time, in other words, hours of operation, that kind of stuff. Place, where they are located, and manner, and that's kind of like how they operate. Time, place, and manner, those are the three issues in the legislation. They said, if you want, you can put in a moratorium that expires on April 30th, 2015. But May 1st, you either have to have adopted time, place, and manner rules for your community, or it's open. They're only regulated by the state of Oregon through their rules, and they have, you know, many restrictions and rules. The city of Bend is an example in Central Oregon, has never adopted the moratorium, and they have no time, place, and manner regulations. And that's been going, since that all happened. The other communities in Central Oregon passed a moratorium, and that's why you're seeing kind of the rush of how things are being handled. And everyone looks at it a little different. So the Planning Commission started working on this, and there's some Planning Commission members here, and felt that they wanted to put some stricter rules on distances from things, hours of operation, and that's kind of how they went through. So that's how we got here. If we adopt nothing, if nothing passes, then the restrictions are off. If we adopt something tonight or a subsequent meeting, and I'll get into the emergency clause, then those rules will take effect the first of May. So passing nothing takes away all rules. And that's the dilemma that people are in. And then we're also going to run into the time frame. If you vote against it, you say, because I want another restriction, we're going to run out of time to meet the requirements to publicize an ordinance, and May 1st is going to roll around. We could adopt one on May 15th, but for that 2 weeks, there are no rules in place. So those are the difficulties we're in. So moving forward, the recommendation before you in this ordinance would limit hours of operation from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Sunday, called 7 days a week. So they can't open early and they can't stay open late. On-site production and consuming is prohibited. In other words, you can go to the store if you're a card-carrying member that you got from a doctor. You can then go in, buy your marijuana, medical marijuana. You have a prescription. You can take it with you. You can't consume it. You can't rip it open and start eating things or smoking. So that's important. You must take that home with you. You can't do it outside. You cannot go in the parking lot. Obviously, if they're locked in their car and they open up and do something, I suppose there's not much you can do. You can't produce it there. In other words, you can't in the back room have marijuana plants growing. This is just a distribution place that markets it. So they get their marijuana through other means. They buy it in. It's traded in. It's kind of like a co-op to a degree. And all that's regulated by the state of Oregon. I mean, they have all kinds of rules. They do have to be licensed through the state, and that's one thing 5.1 says. Ultimately, you have to get your license from the state of Oregon, follow all their rules, and their background checks. 5.4, this is, I think, the most important that everyone seems to be interested in, and that's the local regulations on distances. And this is where we made a change since our last meeting at the request of a couple council members. And that was, I will just go through them. 1,000 feet, a dispensary cannot be located within 1,000 feet of a school, a primary school that's attended by minors. And there's kind of a definition there. And then the second part of that is 750 feet from a public library. So you can go down to the Deschutes County Library, you can't be within 750 feet of that. And that really covers, you know, well past the skate parks and all that down there. Of course, the schools are a long whole block. They run a whole length, so you can't be within 1,000 feet of there. So what you'll find is that entire, basically, Huntington Road from the senior center clear down almost where it meets, you know, halfway down, you couldn't put one because of those distance requirements. And what we added was, well, the other one's a state law too, and it's resetting 1,000 feet from another dispensary. So if you have an area you can have dispensaries, they have to be 1,000 feet from each other. So if one locates, the state's given them a license, you can't have another one next door, they gotta be 1,000 feet away. And in a smaller town, that kind of starts to be problematic for folks. And then we added 750 feet.
500 feet.
He's trying to describe that there. I see it. Yeah, he's trying to kind of describe how they. So the another addition was 500 feet from a licensed daycare facility, and that's new at the council's request. That was added, so you cannot have one within 500 feet of a daycare. Now we only have one or two daycare centers. Most of them are in residential zones. And this is limited to commercial zones, so it won't impact much. There is one out on Burgess at Huntington, so you could draw that 500-foot circle out there, but you're also not in a commercial zone out there, so you start to overlap a bunch of restrictions. So those are the main ones on the distances. Now, the other thing to explain, because Councilor Gregg asked earlier, the other thing that council people wanted was a 50-foot buffer zone along Highway 97. So we've added that, and that's going to come up in the Planning Commission next week, and that will be in our zoning ordinance. That's the second piece to this. It's not in here, but it's in the drafts for the Planning Commission, and it will come to the council the following week. So what that's saying is you take the ODOT called property line, not the middle of the road, you go over basically on the other side of the sidewalk. I mean, you know, it's all over, it's different, but that's the basic line. Back 50 feet, that then, if the business fronts the highway and you're within that 50 feet and it touches that front door, then you would be not eligible. It would be a ban. And that run the full length of the highway through town on both sides. So the theory there was have them, they're sideways inside one of the strip malls or something, or further back, so that when people come through town, they're not looking at them. If kids are walking down the sidewalk, they're not walking, 10 feet from the front door of one of these. So I think you've done a good job of adding some new restrictions. Sales transfers, all the sales have to be inside, I think we talked about it. There's no mobile dispensaries, you can't drive around and sell it. Marijuana clubs, that came up in there. You wanted a better definition, and so no one even knows what a marijuana club, this came from our legal counsel. He was kind of thinking ahead. I think he's commingling a little bit, thinking about recreational. I'm not sure, but
I like what he said, though.
Yeah, he's saying a social club or smoking club means an association or organization of persons dedicated to a particular interest or activity related to or concerning marijuana. What the deal was, they can't be located together. We didn't want a dispensary, then right next door is a smoking club. Since I can't smoke it in the store and I can't smoke it outside, you didn't want you to go in one door and go in the next door and the party's on. That's what it was to stop. And obviously, if there's violations, we have a fine. It's up to $500, but that actually can be per day in some cases. You know, we'll see where that takes us. A whole lot of bookkeeping requirements, but I think you're all comfortable with that, where we can audit, we can go check their books. We do have a 5% tax that we would collect, so we would audit them. It's much like the hotel motel tax. And then the final thing, I guess, would be is we are declaring an emergency because of time. Under our charter that we adopted, requires if an ordinance doesn't have an emergency clause, it becomes effective 30 days later, which means tonight's the 8th. So if you don't have an emergency clause, 30 days from now is what the, how many days are in April, so it'd be the 7th. So that first week of May, there would be no rules. Okay. So to avoid that, we had to declare an emergency. And a lot of cities declare emergencies on every ordinance. It's just kind of what they do. Congress does that. The legislature does it. But we don't do it very often. So this is a time we need to do it. Now, under the emergency clause, it requires a unanimous vote. Now, in our case, the mayor only votes in the case of a tie. So if there's a 4-0 vote, it passes. And then the Planning Commission will take up the zoning thing and deal with those, and we'll come address that. If there's a council person who votes against it, it will come back in 2 weeks, and you can vote against it again or vote for it, and then it's effective. It just requires, under an emergency, you have to have two. If it's not unanimous, you have to vote on it twice, and it will come back in 2 weeks. So that's kind of where we are. Now, if it was defeated, in other words, if tonight a couple of you vote against it, or one of you votes against it, and we come back in 2 weeks, and three people vote against it, that means the rules are not in place. And that means about a week later, there'll be no rules. Because we can't, if you say, well, I'm voting against it because I want another restriction put in, that has to be rewritten. It has to, our charter requires 7 days notice prior to that, minimum, and then you'll be passed May 1st. So it's that's where we are. We've been working on this for 3 months. We've been here, and so that's kind of the rundown. Any questions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just one. If it's passed, I mean, we pass it,
mm-hmm.
at a later time, can it be amended?
Oh, yes. That's the other thing. And that's a good point, Stu. You know, I've talked to some other places. You know, it's kind of like shoving off. You kind of shove off, and then you can amend it. If 6 months from now you say, hey, you know, I wanted something different. Now, those that are existing are out there, but you know, it does allow you to make changes. And then I think the other thing is we don't know where recreational is going. There's some people trying to combine it, the legislature. We don't know how this is all going to work. So I think that you will probably revisit this a couple, three times, maybe over the next year or two. This is not the only time you're going to see it. And then we'll start working on recreational once we get this done. So that's a good question.
Will we work on recreational before July?
No. I mean, really not. Because okay. No.
Okay.
We haven't even started into it. You saw where Redmond did. They were working on it. They kind of commingled it. I'm not quite sure. I haven't talked to Keith Wadowski about that. And they were getting into the height of the fence. Did you, I don't know if you read that in the paper, how high a pot plant can grow in the backyard and all of this. I mean, I didn't want to get everybody confused because otherwise we were going to be going from medical marijuana to people growing pot in their backyard. And they're two different issues. So, and they're two different laws. Even though the public will want to put it together, you can't. They're two different issues.
Okay. Any further questions of council or staff? Hearing none?
The only reason I ask that question is because in one of these sections it deals with disposal of. So that's what I'd like to revisit down the road once we get this going. Because getting it going is the most important thing.
Okay. Public comment? We will accept public comment on this ordinance at this time. Please state your name and address, please.
Barbie Dunham.
Why don't you come on up here?
Yeah. Okay.
We've got your microphone so that you're heard, and you got two microphones in front of you. Don't get nervous about those.
Hi, my name is Barbie Dunham. I'm a Lapine resident, 53232 Woodstock Drive, and I've been a resident for 39 years. So I was just wondering if any of the monies that you're going to be collecting are going to be set aside for education, prevention, from the 5%?
None of that's been made a decision on.
Is it possible to maybe get that on a future agenda?
It's something that the council may want to take up.
Okay. That's all I had to comment on.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further public comments?
Don't be shy. I know that several of you came to speak, but you told me you were going to.
Me?
No.
Oh.
No. Your fan club behind you.
Here's your opportunity. Believe me. So.
All right, I'll speak.
All right, Matt, come on up here.
What's going on, council? My name's Matt Topher. I'm a resident here in Lapine. I own the garden store. We plan on operating a dispensary next door to our garden store. Good question on the 5% tax. Where is that 5% going? Because I like to know where my tax dollars are going.
We try not to spend it before we've collected any.
Right. So the 50-foot rule off the highway, I believe, is a great idea. My kids walk from the middle school to my garden shop every day after school, or a few days a week, I should say. Mm-hmm. And there's that crosswalk right there in front of the yellow blinking light. And there's already been talk of dispensaries right there on the side of the highway. Which is fine, you know, everybody wants to do business. But I think that the building we're talking about has been a huge eyesore in this town for such a long time. And I don't think we need to make it a big spotlight for the cannabis. Yeah, and really that's it. I think you guys should move forward on the 50-foot rule. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah.
Any further comments?
I'm a resident of Bend, actually, but my family has been coming up to Lapine from Northern California with friends and stuff to camp here every year for years, and I don't think they'll come, honestly, if it's Dispensaryville when they pull into town. So that's one of my main concerns, not that there's not going to be dispensaries, because I think legalization is going to happen regardless, obviously, but like the 50-foot rule at least would be nice. So, just my input.
All right. Thank you very much. Any further comments?
Sure. I'll
comment.
Linda Crew of Lapine. I'm categorically against any dispensaries within our town of Lapine. I've experienced the medical marijuana use in the fact that I do not use, but acquaintances and families of foster children that I have fostered in my home. I've had quite a bit of insight and exposure to different families with the use of medical marijuana. I do believe there are certain benefits for several people, types of people that have cancer and things, but I feel that Bend will fully cover any need for medical marijuana, and that we don't even need to deal with that in our small town. We'll be so close to schools, so close to traffic, as with this nice gentleman that was talking about the dispensary that he plans on. I think we'll hold no benefit to the town. We have to be very careful of our image in Lapine. We're trying to grow economically. We're trying to attract a community, and we're trying to attract couples, young couples with children. And I can see this medical marijuana would have little to no beneficiary phase in our town. So again, I would like to note that I am very much against this, along with many of our neighbors and most of our townsfolks, and thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Pastor Steve Dowler, and I pastor Cross Point Pentecostal Church of God.
And your last name, Steve?
Dowler, D-O-W-L-E-R.
Your address?
I live out of town, but I pastor a local church, and I run a business, right? New Ground Cafe. I'm against the dispensary in town. I don't think it would look good on the Pine. We have signs out here that says we support our youth, and you know, then we want to put medical marijuana dispensaries. I'm not against medical marijuana, but I don't think that dispensaries need to be in city limits or next to places where kids go, or even next to a church. There is a church over here in that town, and I don't think that would look good. So I am against it.
All right, thank you. Further comments?
This rolls. My name is Faye Berg, and I'm a local resident of Lapine. I've lived here 13 years. And I like our small town atmosphere. And I am definitely against the medical marijuana dispensaries with all the children that go through this town every day. I don't really think that we need to have such a dispensary with kids. You don't know. Pretty soon they lace things. It's been proven in Colorado there were children that were overdosed because of marijuana being laced in cookies, candy, whatever. And I just don't think we need it in our town, and I think it will hurt our town's reputation if we want to grow. And I appreciate you letting me speak.
Thank you very much.
My name is Gary Bowen. I'm from Gilcrest area, but I do my shopping here. I do almost everything I can here in town, but I don't think we need the dispensaries here. I don't know why the Pine wants to follow every other little area. It just don't make sense to me. I've worked a tow truck for many years. I've seen what drunk drivers do. I've seen impaired drivers do, and it just tears my heart apart to even think that anybody would want to start something like that here. I mean, there's kids out there that get killed every day, impaired drivers, and I don't think we need it here.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Any further comments?
My name is Margie Collins. I moved here 20 years ago, and the city has changed a lot. And I was shocked to hear when I moved here that Lapine was known for its drugs. Well, if it's known for its drugs, why do we need medical marijuana? You have all of Bend, St. Charles, all that other stuff that could do it. And I just That's my opinion. We don't need it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further comments? Hearing none, I will close the hearing at this time. And we'll go to council deliberations. Karen, anything that strikes you?
You know, I have mixed feelings about marijuana, period. Whether it is medical marijuana or marijuana. But I do know that it has been legalized. I do know that it's on its way. And I feel that what we're doing tonight is not saying that we want your town to be a drug town or a marijuana town or anything else. What we want is rules and regulations put into place. Because unfortunately, whether we want there to be a shop here or not, the state says that they can apply for a license here and put a shop in. And if they do that, and we have none of these ordinances in place, then they'll be able to have the hours they want, have no records if they don't want to. There will be no rules for them. So, unfortunately, I've never done any drugs in my life. I've never drank in my life. I've never smoked in my life. But I do know that other people do those things. I know that our children get a hold of drugs, whether we like it or not. But there are rules in place that they cannot get those drugs from medical marijuana facilities or whether they get them from a medical or a marijuana shop. What I am saying is that as a community, we owe it to our children and to our people that live here to put rules in place to protect us. And if we don't do that, then we have really failed.
Thank you, Karen. Stu? No comment?
I'm not ready. Not yet.
Let me get to you, Greg. Greg?
I feel the same way Karen does. It's not something I want in our town either. But the people of Oregon voted. And we have to go by the law. We could vote to ban, but then the big risk, guys from out in Colorado come out and sue us and bankrupt our town. You know, that's a reality. So as much as it pains me, really pains me to see this happening, the best we can do is put the regulations in place. Try to control what goes on in our town as best we can. The bigger cities are challenging, but they have huge budgets to fight the battle with. Unfortunately, La Pine doesn't. And I wish it wasn't that way. I wish that we could all have our say and let the town to decide, truly decide, whether things like this come into our community or not. This is where it's at, and I just feel we have to, like Karen says, we have to do the best with what we have to work with. We have to put these regulations in place. We have to try to control somewhat where they are, what time they do business, and how they do business, I guess. So that's my comment.
Okay. Stu?
Well, you know, it's kind of like if we don't do anything, there will be nothing in place. It's opening the door to God only knows what. This way, there is some control by the city. Unfortunately, we've been let down by Salem. Our legislatures have failed us in every step of the way. when this was approved by the voters, they were supposed to do their job and get us information and pass some laws so that we had some guidelines. They haven't done that yet. And now they said, okay, you can do pass a moratorium. We'll have some guidelines for you. Where are we at now? We still don't have any guidelines. So just about the time the city's ready to tackle this ordinance, now there's rumors that they're going to allow a combination at a medical dispensary. So Salem is, you know, they're failing us in every way. So I think the city's responsibility to the citizens of this community is put something in place so that we can do the best that we can. And we're all responsible. You know, that goes for the citizens of the community as well. It's kind of like a neighborhood watch. We all have to keep an eye out for our kids. You know, it's not the city's responsibility to raise the kids in this community. We're here to help the parents. So the parents need to take the responsibility of making sure that this medical marijuana or the edibles don't fall into the wrong hands. That's not the city's responsibility. Ours is to regulate a medical marijuana operation, or dispensary, excuse me. And I think the best thing that we can do for the citizens and the kids is by supporting our youth by putting something in place that will protect them. Because without this, there won't be any protection. And I've struggled with it too, but you know, I think I have to go along with the ordinance for that reason, is actually the protection of the kids. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Kathy?
Wow. Thank you for the comments and the legislature, because I felt a lot of weight also because they haven't come through for any guidelines for us. This has been heart-wrenching for me personally. I don't agree with it. If I had the option, I would vote to ban it. And I have a problem when people give you notice, so to speak, that you either put in an ordinance, if you ban it, we'll be there to sue you. That's very difficult, and I don't like backing down from that type of thing. And I also, I don't see anything positive happening for Lapine because of these dispensaries. Whether they make it or whether they don't, we don't know. But the image that Lapine, and that so many people are working so hard to give Lapine the better image, this perceived image that Lapine carries, it's known. And I felt too that Bend, they can get it in Bend. I know it's a little travel, but it's there. It's a no-win. It really is a no-win situation. And my heart goes out to all those that are so set against it, because I understand that. My concern is for the youth here. Pardon my allergies. The youth here and what's going on, and I understand that. That's where I am too. I want Lapine to be respected as a great small community to live in. The bottom line is, if we don't pass this, we open up a can of worms. It's tough. It's a tough situation for a small town to be in, because I think most of our hearts are in the same direction. But I'm told it is what it is, and we need to deal with that. And that's what I have to say. I love Lapine. I want us to hold our heads up. I want us to be proud of Lapine and have an image of being a great place to live.
Thank you, Karen.
Yeah.
Kathy? Let me write that down. I think that tonight, I listened to Karen, and that is probably the most lucid, straightforward description of our responsibility and the way that we are, with what we are faced with. And that was amplified by each one of the counselors. Having pointed out to you that there's stress on our hearts as we move forward. We were elected as mayor and counselors to carry out the needs of this community, to handle the business of the citizens in the best and safest manner that we could. And I think tonight you've heard us talking about what we know to be reality and what we know to be need. And in this time, place, manner ordinance that we have in front of us and that we will face here in a moment or two to decide, we have put our best foot forward for the benefit of our community. Because in reality, it's here and it's going to stay. And I am proud of the counselors around me who have put a great deal of effort and energy into coming to a conclusion that was not easy by any means. Because they've got both sides to be responsible for and to think about. I'm proud of us for approaching it, of everyone coming out and talking about it, and I think we've gotten to a good position for all of the kinds of reasons I've heard our comments tonight, for a quality place to live. We've put restrictions in place that will speak to those kinds of issues and the safety of our kids and ourselves. So, Council, thank you very much for all the work on this. And with that, I will entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 2015-02, an ordinance of the City of Lapine establishing time, place, and manner regulations concerning medical marijuana dispensaries and declaring an emergency.
We need a second.
Was there a motion?
We need a motion. So.
Yeah. I saw a move.
It's been moved?
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded? Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
With all everything that's been said, the I know there's one person that's a prospective dispensary
the
operator. Business person, that those businesses would help work with the city and with the community to make this work for the whole community. I know it's a business, and there's, you know, it's a questionable business by some, but I think if we reach out to each other, you know, let's prove the people wrong. You know, we'll put a challenge out there. And so that's how I hope we think about it. Thank you.
Craig, anything else? Karen, anything else?
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming forward and telling us how you felt. It does not mean that I didn't feel the same way. It just means that I wanted to protect our children. And I think that this is the best way to go, by putting rules and regulations in place. Thank you.
Kathy?
No.
I got it written down here.
Kathy.
You know, I would like to thank the Councilor Martinez for bringing out something that we haven't, that was not mentioned until he brought it out. Respect that, you know, a business is a business, and there's no doubt that all of us would expect each business in this town to help the city be a safe and livable place to be. And I'm hoping and I'm confident that we'll find that in what we shall see come about here soon. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of ordinance...
We need a roll call vote.
Oh, that's right. It's an ordinance, so it's a roll call. So, Councilor Martinez.
Aye.
Terry Jones, aye.
Kathy Agin,
aye.
Karen Ward, aye.
Let the record reflect that the ordinance number 2015-02 was passed unanimously.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, maybe we should take a break.
Yes.
That's an excellent.
And then we can get her microphone out of here.
We are.
Take a recess.
And recess for a moment.